Tyranno the Conqueror by Ray Cummings. To Hugo Gernsback, scientist, author, and publisher, whose constant efforts in behalf of science fiction have contributed so largely to its present popularity, this tale is gratefully dedicated. Foreword. In Tyranno the Conqueror is presented a tale of the year 2430 A.D., a time somewhat farther beyond our present-day era than we are beyond Columbus' discovery of America. My desire has been to create for you the impression that you have suddenly been plunged forward into that time, to give you the feeling Columbus might have had could he have read a novel of our present-day life. To this end, I have conceived myself a writer of that future time, addressing his contemporary public. You are to imagine yourself reading a present-day translation of my original text, a translation so free that a thousand little colloquialisms will have crept into it that could not possibly have their counterparts in the year 2430. Apart from the text, you will occasionally find brief explanatory footnotes. Conceive of them as having been put there by the translator. If you find parts of this tale unusual or bizarre, please remember that we are living now in a comparatively ignorant day. The tale is not intended to be fantastic or full of new and strange ideas. I have used nothing but those developments of our present-day civilization to which we are looking forward as logical probabilities, woven them into a picture of what life in America very probably will be 500 years from now. To that extent, the tale itself is intended to be only a love story of adventure and romance, written not for you, but for that future audience. Ray Cummings. Chapter 1. The New Murders. I was standing fairly close to the President of the Anglo-Saxon Republic when the first of the new murders was committed. The President fell almost at my feet. I was quite certain then that the Venus man at my elbow was the murderer. I don't know why. Call it intuition, if you will. The Venus man did not make a move. He merely stood beside me in the press of the throng, seemingly as absorbed as all of us in what the President was saying. It was late afternoon. The sun was setting behind the cliffs across the river. There were perhaps 150,000 people within sight of the President, listening raptly to his words. It was at Park 60, and I was standing on the 10th level. See footnote 1. The crowd packed all 12 of the levels. The park was black with people. The President stood on a balcony of the park tower. He was no more than a few hundred feet above me, well within direct earshot. Around him, on all sides, were the electric megaphones which carried his voice to all parts of the audience. Behind me, 1,000 feet overhead, the main aerials were scattering it throughout the city. I suppose 5 million people were listening to the voice of the President at that moment. He had just said that we must remain friendly with Venus, that in our enlightened age controversies were inevitable, but that they should be settled with sober thought around the council table. This talk of war was ridiculous. He was denouncing the public news broadcasters, molders of public opinion, who every day, every hour, must offer a new sensation to their millions of subscribers. Footnote 1. New York City, about where Yonkers now stands. He had reached this point when, without warning, his body pitched forward. The balcony rail caught it, and it hung there.